Oh, yeah. That is a thankful song, Lise. It is Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve, and I guess it's Black Wednesday, but I like to think of it as Thankful Wednesday. No, I don't know. I'm just excited to be here. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Up in news, we have, who do we have in news? Roger Badish, are you doing news as well, or are you doing traffic?
Rob's got the news. I've got your traffic and weather.
Excellent.
And we're going to sit here and keep you all warm and cozy and comfy.
Oh, well, that's taking a lot of responsibility right there.
Well, that's the kind of guy I am.
Well done. I appreciate that. Make us all cozy. Also joining me in studio is Elliot Serrano. Hi, Elliot.
Hi. Okay, if Roger's going to keep us comfy and cozy, how come he's not down here to snuggle me?
Yeah, come snuggle
I'll be
him.
Down and snuggle.
All right.
I didn't realize you were up there. We went to the newsroom and stole some of those delicious toffee bars. Or whatever.
Oh, I know. Those are from, I think, Veronica left those.
I haven't tasted one yet, but they look fantastic. Looks very good. I'm in a great mood. I started my Thanksgiving Day prep for cooking tomorrow. I'm trying to remember if I've ever prepped the meal ahead of time. I usually get up and start working at 10 a.m. Yeah. Have dinner around 7.
Wow.
Well, because, I my husband hates this about me. I am a bad manager of time. I always think I can get something done. If I think I can get it done in an hour, it's probably 3. So if I think I can get Thanksgiving dinner done in 4 hours, I'm going to get it done in 8 to 9 hours. So I started tonight with a lot of the chopping. Onions, obviously. Easy to chop ahead of time. A lot of my herbs, all my parsley and my sage and all that stuff.
Rosemary
is all.
Rosemary and thyme?
Is that why you smell like onions?
I smell a lot like onions, yeah. I'm reeking of onions. Because I was alone in the kitchen chopping onions for about 45 minutes. Because I need onions for my stuffing, for my gravy, I had to chop 4 onions and that's... You forget when it's not in the middle of the day and it's tedious.
Do you write any of this stuff down? Do you plan things out or are you just like, oh yeah, no. I got to do this and I got to, no.
No, I don't. And that's another thing my husband really hates about me is that I'll take a recipe as a suggestion and then I go from there. And then I just kind of wing it. And then if it's really good, everyone asks me what I did and I can't remember. I don't know. I have to just hope it works out the same way next time. I do. I don't measure herbs. I don't measure any of that stuff. I'm spitballing, Roger.
But that's the fun thing to do.
Yes.
Because then if you follow a specific plan and it doesn't come out right,
yes,
then you start throwing things.
Yeah, well, did my husband call you? Does he? What conversations have you been a part of?
Because you and I are so alike.
Mm-hmm. He did go. He came home yesterday. He goes, I got your pie. I said, I was going to make one. He goes, I know. So he went to the store and bought. It's fine. The bakery at Mariano's has a lovely pumpkin pie.
There you go.
In Patty's defense, I mean, really, what you're going through is a similar tale that's told across this nation.
Yes.
By husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and single folks and just people in general, and countless sitcoms have been written about that. I think there's even a movie about
Home for the Holidays is my favorite holiday movie, and it's all about the Thanksgiving meal.
Right. So,
all of it.
So there. So, I mean, what you probably need are elves.
Ooh, I do need elves. That's probably one thing that I didn't... I should do that tomorrow is fold Griffin into the process. So he's he's that boyfriend, that husband.
Actually, he does kind of look like an elf. He just needs the ears.
Actually, have you ever noticed my ears? I have elf ears. I don't have lobes, so yeah. I actually have elf ears. So.
The Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. I have that going on.
Got to get him the little, Spock points on there, but.
Speaking of Griffin, not an elf, as it turns out, he took his test today. He takes a Kenpo. He's a martial artist.
Ooh.
Yes, and he graduated from his purple belt to his blue belt, and we were all there today.
Wonderful.
It was so cool. We decided to start taking martial arts as a family. We all started when Griffin was 5 years old. It was the one thing I thought would be great for him as a confidence builder. I've mentioned this week a couple times about being bullied in grade school. I was beaten up. I was held down and force-fed food from a garbage can. And so when Griffin started going to grade school, I sort of had these flashbacks of, I was an easy target. I was also target because I was the only Mexican kid in my class. So I knew Griffin was going to be different, and not necessarily in the sense of how he looked, but maybe in how sensitive he is. So I wanted him to have the confidence that if anyone messed with him, he could hold his own. Because I never, there was one time when I was at Anahan, I was running home, these kids were chasing me home, and they used to, when they would catch me, they would hold me down and hit me. And this girl who lived along my path saw them, grabbed one of them, held him against the fence. This is over on Raven, not far from, I don't know where the cross street is, it's all N streets over there. But they have this, there's this triangle, and there's a this really kind of cool house with like a wrought iron fence. And she grabbed him over the fence, held him back against the fence, and she goes, just hit him. Take your turn. Hit him. And you know what the problem was with that? I didn't know how to hit. And I also felt weird. Like, she was yelling at me to hit him, and it felt so odd that I didn't know. And I don't ever want Griffin to be the aggressor, but he is more inclined to defend others than he is to even step up for himself. So that's what he's learned from martial arts, is only when necessary.
Although Griffin, given his level of intelligence, I don't know if he'd go so much punching and kicking as he'd do like a total Home Alone, Macaulay Culkin, you know, start
laying traps.
Yeah, laying traps along the way so that when the bullies are after him or somebody else, they're like spring-loaded things are coming out of these trees. And
he's never seen Home Alone, but some of those Joe Biden memes where they're making jokes about leaving booby traps for President Trump.
Yep. President-elect Trump.
President-elect Trump for when he is president.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Interesting you should say that. I'm wondering how much...
Now they have a fence around the school, so it's a lot more convenient. That wrought iron fence?
Oh, yeah, a lot of the playgrounds have wrought iron fences, yes.
Yeah, this is all around the school now.
Yes, so. I think some of them do. This was a fence around someone's home, their own property.
Right across from the school?
Down the block on Raven.
Right. Mm-hmm. Easier to electrify now.
Is that what it is?
A couple cables, a battery, car battery.
So that's what you would do for the Home Alone booby trap?
Oh, yeah. Telling you, that little Kevin McAllister is a personal hero of mine.
Is that one of your holiday movies, Home for the Holidays? I mean,
Home Alone.
Home Alone?
Home Alone 1. Home Alone 2.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen
Home Alone 2.
2?
Yes.
Home Alone 2 is very much like Home Alone 1, except it's in New York. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a...
Where do they leave him in New York?
Well, he goes to New York. He ends up in New York, and instead of... See, what would have made more sense is that he booby traps the hotel he's staying in.
But instead?
But he booby traps an abandoned building in New York.
Is it still Joe Pesci
and
Daniel Stern?
Daniel Stern, yes.
Really?
I know. What are the odds?
How do they track? Are they tracking him down?
They just find him there.
No, it's ridiculous.
I know.
But have you seen this movie, Lise? Home Alone 2?
It's funny that you are talking about it, because I actually watched it. I was in Ireland last year, like this time of the year, and I watched it with my ex-boyfriend's like little Irish cousin. We watched Home Alone 2 together.
And what did they think?
Oh, he loves that movie, and he had seen it like thousands of times. I had never seen it.
Mm-hmm. You've never seen
it? I don't think I've seen Home Alone 1.
Oh, you definitely have to see Home Alone 1. It's a fun movie. It's a romp.
Yeah. One's a really good one.
It's very fun.
Right. Home Alone 1 is to Home Alone 2 as Ghostbusters 1 is to Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, that's a train wreck right there.
Some people, I know I have friends who saw Ghostbusters 2 first. I'm like,
oh, no.
I'm like, seriously?
Yeah, that's not indication of things that were.
Mm-mm. Yeah, the first one is the best one. Usually, very few sequels exceed their... But with the exception being if you saw Alien 2 before.
Oh, that's a great movie. Alien 2 is, yeah, I think I did see Aliens, which is the sequel to Alien. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. But then going back and watching the original was also enjoyable.
Or if you saw the Empire Strikes Back before you saw Star Wars, you know, you can do that.
But Star Wars is such a magical movie.
It is a movie. And then, then of course, Romy and Michelle, wedding, the bit, you know.
No, High School Reunion.
High School Reunion 2.
Same cast?
No. Lisa's just shaking her head.
I have no idea what that is.
Okay. I was trying to make... If I went to the chick flicks, maybe you would have...
I'm all about, like, Wayne's World.
Oh, see? Wayne's World 2, actually.
Not bad, yeah.
Not as good as the first one, though.
No.
But, like, Wayne's Stock?
Wayne's.
Is there a third?
No, there's no... They've been talking about a third for a while now, but it's not... You know.
David Carvey can pull it off. He still looks the same. I haven't seen Mike Myers.
Mike Myers, it does not look the same.
No?
Oh.
No,
okay. Does not look the same.
All right, then.
But he's been, just trying to get himself together.
He was really rocking and with his career. He was taking off, and then things kind of imploded. He made that one movie where he was, like, the...
The Love Guru?
Yes.
I remember that. But people forget, he's Shrek as well.
Oh, that's true.
And he's rolling in
sweet,
the Shrek dough.
Sweet Shrek movie.
Get the Shrek dough.
Yep. Now, what's your favorite holiday movie? Do you have a favorite?
Which holiday are we talking about?
Well, it's just I mean, what else is there?
There are different movies for different holidays.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for Thanksgiving.
Is a great, that's a Thanksgiving movie right
there. You're going the wrong way! Yeah. How do they know which way we're going?
Those aren't two pillows.
Everyone likes the bed scene.
Yeah, it was a good scene. But no, that was back when Steve Martin was doing kind of like this serious drama stuff. He did Planes, Trains, Automobiles, Parenthood.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, that is an incredible movie.
Have I ever told you that Steve dressed up as Gil the Sheriff? Remember he had the when the cowboy doesn't show up, the clown doesn't show up for the birthday party. So Steve Martin has to dress up and do all the balloon animals. Yep. It's like your intestines and you're sliding around on them. Mm-hmm. So Steve did that where he cut a bath mat in half, strapped it to his legs with, you know, whatever, and had the tints. It was really the cutest Halloween costume I've ever seen. I should have said Halloween costume. Not like he dressed up for, you know, like bedtime or something. Sheriff Gil.
I'm getting a soul massage for
This is going to be a pretty late first, where Roger Badge comes in and randomly starts to massage the guests, which is fine. Carry on, sir. Just get in there and...
I know he's all tense from getting things ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no, he's doing a lot of prep. Do you have a favorite holiday movie, Lise?
The Holiday.
The Holiday. Which one is The Holiday? With Queen Latifah?
No, that's The Last Holiday, I think. Oh. The Holiday is with Jude Law, Jack Black, Cameron Diaz, and Kate Winslet, and they do like a house exchange, Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz. Like, Cameron Diaz is in LA and Kate Winslet's in like London. Mm-hmm. And then they switch houses and then fall in love with people in those countries. Oh my God, I actually just watched it a couple days ago. And
she got all choked up even thinking about it.
You've seen that, Elliot? No?
The Last Holiday?
The Holiday.
No, I haven't, but if you'd like, I'll watch it with you.
Okay. Well, I just watched it, but
okay, then I'm not.
My mom will have to be there because she loves that movie.
Yeah, bring your mom over. We can watch in the green room. I hook up my Roku. Good. We're all set.
Perfect.
We have a smart TV in the green room.
I don't know if I can watch a movie that's gonna make me cry.
Yeah, you don't want to cry.
I don't want to cry in front of your mom, Lise.
Roger, do you have a favorite holiday movie?
I've got a whole bunch. I think at this time of the year,
you misunderstand the word favorite.
Yes, I know. When you're as old as I am, you got a lot of favorites. But the one that always gets me, never fails, is White Christmas.
Oh.
I cannot really? Watch that and not cry like a blethering baby. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
And White Christmas is Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
And who are the women? I always forget who the women are.
Helen O'Connell, I think.
The ladies.
I forgot.
Because what's the other one
is.
That actually features the song White Christmas?
Well, that's Holiday Inn.
Right, with Fred Astaire.
Fred Astaire and Bing Crosby, mm-hmm. which is in black and white.
Yes.
Okay.
And why do you like the Danny Kaye version with White Christmas better?
I saw that first.
Oh, see, and I saw Holiday Inn first.
Okay.
And the thing about Holiday Inn, now that's a movie that has every holiday in it.
Right.
Including Abraham Lincoln's birthday, which is weird because then Fred Astaire does a blackface dance, which is really good but also awkward to watch. He does, yes.
A different day and time.
It was a different time, but it's really good.
Why is he in blackface?
Because he's talking about freedom and how Abraham Lincoln set the slaves free. And
all right. Mm-hmm. That's, whoa. Okay.
It's a great movie, though. And it was the first movie that White Christmas premiered in.
What was the holiday movie that Bob Hope and Bing Crosby did together?
Didn't Lemon they? Drop Kid? I know, they did a bunch. Lemon Drop Kid is actually not with Bing Crosby, but like the Road to Morocco.
Yeah, all the road pictures. Yeah. Road to Bali, Road to Morocco. Mm-hmm. They did about five or six of them.
They liked them some Hedy Lamarr.
Yeah, she was in all of them. And they all wooed her in each of the movies.
Because I keep thinking of that video. It was from that, I'm pretty sure it was from one of those, it had to be a television special, where Bing Crosby and David Bowie sing Drummer Boy together.
Yeah.
But that's not from a movie.
No,
from one of his
that was a TV special.
That was Bing Crosby's TV special, and Bowie, I think it's Bing Crosby who hits the bells.
Pipe. With his pipe.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Yeah. But as far as TV shows go, the Andy Williams Christmas shows always got to me.
My husband loves Andy Williams.
Yeah,
we have all the CDs. I didn't grow up watching any of his specials, though.
There is one of his albums. Mm-hmm. I have the album. And it's very difficult to find now. And one side, it was a Williams Brothers Christmas album. And one side is continuous. It's like every possible Christmas song, and they sing them all together. It flows from one to another. And it's one of the best sides of music,
okay.
holiday music, that I've ever heard. And great harmonizing.
I have to check into that.
Yeah.
Yes?
Was anyone ever into Pee Wee Christmas special?
I was not.
No?
Actually, yeah. yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
No, that one's actually it's pretty good.
Oh, it's so good. And then Mr. Bean Christmas special.
Oh, Mr. Bean also. I've never seen it, but I love Rowan Atkinson.
Oh.
I have not seen
everything he's done.
Oh, he's
just
so
hilarious.
Good.
Yeah.
I think the first time I saw him was Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Really?
I think I have to say that like my memory of him almost begins there. I'm like, who's that guy? And then I started looking into
him. I remember Blackadder, mm-hmm. which was a TV series that he started. Just hilarious.
I had never seen the Blackadder, which I think appeared on PBS locally. Right?
Yes.
They were airing that here.
Yeah.
Kind of in the same similar fashion as the Monty Python mm-hmm. circus.
Yeah.
I grew up watching that, though. And also Fawlty Towers, which I love.
Oh. Hilarious.
How do we go from...
To the Manor Born?
You love Fawlty Towers, Lise?
Yeah, man. We have that on VHS.
Great.
Okay, if you like Fawlty Towers, if you like any of those shows, have you ever seen... Because there are a lot of British shows that my husband and I started watching. The Vicar of Dibley is one of my favorite shows ever. Dawn French, hysterical.
Oh, my God.
The end where she tells her... She always ends with a joke. And one of the... I'm trying to remember the pilot episode. So the girl that she's talking to has worked at the church for a long time. And she's a little... She's really sweet, but a little bit, you know, not the sharpest bulb in the drawer.
Mm-hmm.
or the dimmest knife in the... I'm just kidding. So Dawn French is telling her this story, and she says, you know, and so this woman's at home, and she hears a knock at the door, and she goes, I'll be right there. And she's in the bathtub, and she was about to put on the robe. He goes, it's the blind guy, right? So you're like, oh, well, then come on in. And he looks at her because she didn't put on her robe. She figured it's the blind guy. And he goes, I'm here to hang. Where do you want the blinds hung? And by the way, nice boobs. And obviously Dawn French does a spectacular job of telling the story mm-hmm. and much more concisely. But the girl, like, there's a hang time. That hang time of someone not getting a joke. And the actress has this beautiful sort of, as it sinks in slowly, and then she starts laughing, but never stops laughing to the point where Dawn French gets kind of uncomfortable. So I highly recommend the series Vicar of Dibley as a binge-watching experience. It's really
Definitely.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And then Father Ted is another show from England, the mm-hmm. Irish series. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. So, yeah.
And you see, To the Manor Born mm-hmm. is also very, it's cute, it's mm-hmm. it's sweet. What is the other one that we've got some of the VHSs now? It's, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, be careful with that machine. If that kicks out, you're done.
I know. Nobody sells them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Be in trouble.
I know. I'll look up the other one, but it's
get those converted.
It'll be like a cool vintage thing. VHS
yes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that, but you've
with
got to watch this. Why do I always get like a brain fart every time I want to remember something?
Because your brain makes space for other things, so you're compartmentalizing, and when it's necessary, when it's appropriate, it'll pop right back up, and you'll be mad at yourself, and you shouldn't
I'm
be mad
now.
Don't be mad.
Why wait?
No, don't be mad at yourself. It's all fine. My favorite holiday movie, as I mentioned, is Home for the Holidays. And I'm trying to think of some of the other. I do like Holiday Inn, but it's not like one. But Home for the Holidays, I saw Nick D post, Now the Holidays Begin, and he had put
that's his favorite, yeah.
Yeah, and The Ref, I think, is one of his favorites that I enjoy. I like the sort of little bit dark comedies. For the Holidays is definitely a little bit of a dark family comedy.
Yeah. The
a lot
Ref,
of tension.
I remember The Ref and thinking, I don't like this movie until you get to the end, when the family starts having the whole thing out.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Spacey has the speech, gives a speech about, no, that's not the way things were. You, like, the wife is talking about, oh, we had this great apartment, this and that, and then he goes, no, that's not the way, don't say that's the way it is now. You hated that apartment. You didn't like this, that, and the other. And it spoke to how a lot of times we want to remember things better than they actually were, you know, in our own personal history.
Which is why it's better to jump on things right away.
Yeah.
have it all out as you go.
Yeah.
As my husband says, now? Oh, we're doing this now. Okay. We're talking about it now. Yeah, I love it. It's a dark comedy. Dennis Leary, Judy Davis, who plays Kevin Spacey's wife. It's a very good one. I'm trying to think of some other good... I don't know why I'm... you're having a brain fart. I'm having a general holiday movie brain fart.
Yeah.
Like, well, obviously,
when they come
It's
on,
a Wonderful
I...
Life is...
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie. Yeah. And there's a stage production of that at the American Blues Theater, which I want to get that
cast. It's a radio reading of it, isn't it?
Oh, I think I thought they were doing a real stage version of it. Maybe.
There's, or it's another place.
Are
in
you
town
making me Google
that
during my own show? Is that what's happening?
I'm so sorry.
Okay, best.
I already Googled.
If you want the best holiday movie ever, and I'm talking about specifically about Christmas, Die Hard.
There you go.
Nick showed that last year, I think, as his Christmas movie. I missed that one.
That's the best.
Merry
movie
Christmas.
No, yeah.
Yeah, really.
Welcome to the party, pal. You know,
it is hard. It is a good movie.
It's a great Christmas movie.
He's going out there for the holidays.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Die Hard's 1 and 2. You want to, you know, sit down, relax. So what you do is you start with Home Alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you go to Die Hard. Because Die Hard is essentially...
You're going to make that huge leap?
No, that's not even that huge a leap. I mean, think about it. You know, Home Alone is a kid fighting off invaders in his home.
True.
Whereas Die Hard is an ex-cop fighting off invaders in a skyscraper. That's the first one. Second one's the airport.
Airport, right. Sorry.
You know how one of the... Is it TBS that shows A Christmas Story, 24 hours? They were doing that for a while. The problem with that is I never caught it at the beginning, so I would see parts of it. So I've never seen the movie in its original format, just like from beginning to end. I've seen where the kid gets his tongue stuck on the mm-hmm. flagpole. I've seen Don't Shoot Your Eye Out. I've seen the, you know, but
you shoot your eye out, kid.
Sure, that's.
I probably should get back upstairs, shouldn't I?
That's all right. You have time, a little bit of time.
Okay.
We're not doing a break. I don't have to take a break because they did them all for me during the Blackhawk stuff.
Oh really?
Yes. Oh, you're waiting for my break?
No.
Oh, we've tricked Roger into believing that there's a break coming up, but he doesn't know. We've switched out this half hour of radio to be break free.
We're not even going to the bathroom.
No, never. It's a lockdown, my friend Roger. We're all on lockdown.
I'm in trouble.
I'm trying to see some of the best. None of these like Jingle All the Way. No, the Santa Claus with Tim Allen. Meh.
That was cute.
That one. The Santa Claus.
Right.
That was cute.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
This
is a good underrated movie. You go first.
This is from The Muppets, and it's on DVD now.
Okay.
It was like nowhere to be seen. Emmett Otter's Jug Band.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Yeah, that came out of left field.
I thought you were going to say Christmas Carol, because Griffin loves that.
No, this was on TV, mm-hmm. and it's Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. It is the most beautiful. Again, there's not enough Kleenex at the end of the show for me to have.
Will I cry if I watch this thing?
For the Muppets?
Yes, you will.
It's a tearful Muppet.
Yes.
Why are you so angry?
You will believe.
He's very angry.
You will believe that otters can skate.
Okay. I believe the otter. Did you ever see the movie Mixed Nuts?
Yes.
That's a good one. That's an underrated holiday movie. It's Steve Martin, Liev Schreiber, or how do you say it? Liev Schreiber, yeah. Liev Schreiber, John Stewart, believe it or not. It's from 1994, so it's getting back there a little bit. Scrooged!
Scrooged.
Scrooged.
With Bill Murray.
Right.
Oh,
I will say this.
A great movie.
I saw that in the theater.
Yes.
First time.
I'm going to agree with you on this.
Okay.
Yes.
I remember the first time I saw it, didn't do anything for me.
Me neither.
I was a little disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Caught it again on...
So dark.
Right. It was really dark. Because I was during that period where you weren't expecting that from Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're accustomed to it.
Yep.
Saw it again. It was just last year. They showed it on cable. I'm telling you, I got all choked up at the end when he gives a speech on television. I'm like, I go, this is... why did I not... It was like I was the Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart started, you know, expanding.
Melting.
Yeah.
Right?
And I was like, wow. I wish I'd got it then like I did now.
All right, I got to run upstairs, but real quick.
Don't run.
The original Miracle on 34th Street.
Okay.
The original.
Mm-hmm.
Because new one is just...
Is that Monty Woolley as the as Santa Claus? Who plays Santa Claus in that one? Oh, no.
No.
Who plays...
I forgot who it is, but it's not... That doesn't sound familiar. And what was the other one? Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. I just had it here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do this to me all the time.
I feel like it is Monty Woolley, but I'm going to check. Not 1994, which was with the...
No. Perkins. This is back from...
From 1930s.
Well, not that
1947.
One. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also...
That one. I got it. Okay.
Okay.
Also, if you want to...
I don't know what sound he just made, but it was a little bit strange.
People forget...
Oh, you're right. It was Edmund Gwynn. Edmund Gwenn played Santa Claus with John Payne, Maureen O'Hara, who doesn't love Maureen O'Hara?
Oh, Maureen O'Hara.
And, of course, Natalie Wood as a little girl.
As a little child,
yeah.
Right.
All right. That means it is time. Roger, you're late. Don't run. You're fine. Coming up after the news, if you want to check in with us, and we have some special guests coming up at 1:15, and a little bit different tonight. I've got some.
I saw the green room.
You saw the green room.
This was interesting.
I think we're in for a treat. So
this is interesting.
312-981-7200. If you want to join the conversation anytime, tell us your favorite holiday movies and how are you getting ready for Thanksgiving? How are you preparing yourself emotionally? You know, whether it's meditating. Or meditating with vodka. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. Here with your news is Rob Martier. Listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano, our chief geek officer. In the producer's booth is Lise Graham. And she's, what song is this? Turkey Chase? Turkey Chase. And she's got some, I didn't know there were that many Thanksgiving theme songs aside from Adam Sandler's Turkey, Turkey, Turkey. Isn't that pretty much the basis of the entire song? Coming up after the next break, we have two women who are part of a show called Dating Dilemmas. We have Madge Jablonski and Debbie Sue Goodman, who are going to, you know, help you out with your dating life. Maybe, you know, with the holidays here and your family being a little intense about, are you single? Are you dating anyone yet? Why aren't you married? Why don't I have grandkids? So we'll get some dating advice from our friends Madge and Debbie Sue.
I desperately need their advice. Yeah.
Well, coming up later, you and I will talk a little bit about that first date that I accidentally tagged along. But I feel like Esmeralda needs to be here, and she's filling in for Nick D with John Hansen. All right. I kind of feel like she has to be in the room to tell that story.
Esmeralda she knows about my dating disasters, too. So
she's fully aware. By the way, I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm so grateful for my family, my two beautiful little boys. And they're little. How can I say little anymore at 11 and 13?
They're always little to you. They're always your boys. But Griffin's your babies.
Griffin's going to start chafing at that pretty soon. Declan is, he was so great when we took Griffin for his test. To move from the purple belt to the blue belt. Like, Declan doesn't like to sit still. He, you know, he wants to move around. He was so great today, just hanging out while his brother was tested for his Kenpo belt.
So he was watching?
Yeah, he was watching a little bit. He was kind of wandering around a little bit. For people who aren't familiar, my younger son has special needs. He's nonverbal and is sensory motivated, I guess. He's always seeking out different sensations, like sounds and touch, and wants to tap things and wants to feel things. Like, there was a wall made of, like, raw, like, sort of exposed wood, you know, sort of unfinished wood, and he was running his hands on that, so I had to make sure that he didn't get any splinters. It's always these little things that you don't quite, like, think, you know, ahead of time. But it was so much fun. So I'm grateful for the health of my family, my incredible husband, my mother, who is such, you know what, she's the definition of badass. My mom is just an amazing woman who has seen so much in her 81 years. And I think I can confidently tell you how old she is. And she impresses me every single day. And so, so grateful for my mom. And I'm also grateful for the listeners who've really reached out in the last few days and the last couple weeks since the election. Some people have been disappointed. Some people have been chagrined with the conversations that we've had. But there have been some people who have appreciated and thanked me for being a place where they can share their ideas, where we have conversations, regardless of background or perspective. I obviously have my perspective. I have my point of view. And people have, but we always keep the phone lines open. We took every single call last night that came in, regardless of what the conversation was going to be about. And, you know, for people who think that this is a one-sided, sort of a slanted show, that's why I keep the phones open, so that we make sure we're listening to each other. So thank you so much for the kind words that I've gotten from some of the listeners, including a friend of ours on Twitter who said that it was something he hadn't really thought of before or heard before, as far as the conversation about racial struggles and class struggles and how people people are looking for jobs. Here's what I was saying last night, Elliot, is when you decide what you're going to do, we now have the comfort in many places, not everyone, but you know, when you go to college or even if you decide not to, we have access to a lot of different opportunities, in particular in Chicago, because we have this huge urban city where that you can kind of do anything if you are, you know, ready to get out there and seize the opportunity. Obviously, we have neighborhoods that are disadvantaged, that don't have access to education, and we're trying to equalize that. But when you choose what you're going to do in your 20s, we are now living to be 80, 90, 100 years old, which means whatever you choose to do in your 20s, is that really still what you want to be doing when you're in your 40s and 50s? Because I kind of think that maybe one of the things that we should start thinking about is how to, you know, it's hard and it's scary to say, I need to find a new path. I want to figure out what I'm going to do for the next 30 years of my life. Because if you're, you know, 40 years old, you could be working until you're 80. Do you still want to be doing what you're doing right now? And what does it take to get that next? Oh, Lise, you look so scared. Don't be. I love what I do, but I'm also going to start studying. I'm going to study for my master's. I'm going to work toward my master's in theology. And after that, I might go for a law degree because I want to do other things. I might want to teach. I just want a bigger world perspective. You know, you don't stop. You know, when we talk about, like, you know, college kids and how they, you know, they think they have everything. Or what do we say? People are making fun of millennials for getting awards and, you know, they get rewarded for everything. You know, but at the same time, people who are, you know, in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are turning into grouches looking at the kid. What are you doing that is improving your life? Why are you so mad at the way they were raised? Is it because we're stuck that we are starting to get frustrated with the kids behind us? How do we dislodge ourselves? How do we redefine what we want to do?
Yeah, there's a lot of great points there. I think, you know, considering, one, that we are living longer than we ever have.
Mm-hmm.
The other reality, too, is that the older population in the United States is going to be booming with, you know, the baby boomers. It's unrealistic to think that every person in the United States can do the thing that they've been doing their whole lives, because let's face it, if you worked in a factory, you're not going to work in a factory. Well, one, the factory jobs are leaving, so that's one thing.
Right.
But you're not going to be working in a factory or in a coal mine or whatever going into your 90s. It's just not going to happen. That's why everyone wants to be able to retire, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you get to 60.
Put your time in. It's my turn.
Not to, you know, that. Yeah, but the world, society is also changing, and our roles are changing, and it is causing us to have a lot of introspection because, quite frankly, we don't, as much as we might want to, we don't have those bubbles that we used to have in the past. Social media and media in general kind of make us have to be aware of everyone else.
Right.
And that makes us reevaluate the way we fit in with everyone else. I'm just grateful that I live in the city of Chicago with the University of Chicago, where I plan on finally getting my archaeology degree. So that way I can find the Ark of the Covenant before Trump's guys go after it, because I'm pretty sure that's going to happen at some point.
I know the box number that it's.
Oh, do you? Yeah. The crate that's in?
I'm not saying anything.
They've got top men working on it.
Yeah.
Top.
Can I give myself as an example?
Yes.
So I started out in broadcasting and radio, and that kind of made a left turn. Marriage and kids kind of changed things, and I reinvented myself. I went into public relations, and then I started doing some volunteer work at schools. And I realized that I love teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to school, got my teaching certification, and spent 20 years teaching. And then retired, of course, at the same time I got sick. Then came back to radio after the kids were grown up and life changed several times. And the good thing that I can say is that I've always loved doing whatever I was doing.
Right.
So,
well, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mentioned this earlier, we have the opportunity, and perhaps you would call it a luxury, to say we do what we want to do. And there are so many communities across this country where the, you know, the source of income is pretty limited as to what's in the town, And that's why I think so many people struggle when there's a great movie about the last plant closing in Dayton, Ohio, the last car on the line. And that was, you know, that was a community watching their source of income, their primary source of income, completely disappearing. And, you know, we could talk all day long about how that happened, how we got there. And at some point we have to go, well, what is next? Because there is a gap between, there are millions of jobs that are open in this country, and there's a skills gap. And so you have to decide, you know, one, can you move? Can you, you know, pursue a different career with training? And, you know, we feel like, well, if I'm in my 30s or if I'm in my 40s, it's too late for me. It is not. It is not too late to change the path that you were on. And it's all in your, completely in your ability to find out what you should do next. And I really believe that. The reason I want to study theology, not just the Bible, but all religions, in particular the Bible, I've been finding some things that really, I've come to religion in so many different ways throughout my life. I grew up actually as a Mormon, and because my mother, you know, sought a lot of help from the Mormon Church in Mexico. They helped her get a job. They helped her provide for her family when she was divorced and alone. And that was a great community for me. And then when I got older in my neighborhood, we became part of the Lutheran Church. Now my family is part of the Catholic Church. So I've really enjoyed understanding a little bit more about what, you know, what people are motivated by, what inspires them, what, you know. And by the way, one of the things I've loved my entire life is how the church is always the most beautiful building in a neighborhood. I think that's one of the most wonderful things is, you know, find any, in all of the country, when I traveled as a stand-up comic, there were two things I would always go find in every town I was in, was the church. You know, sometimes there's one, sometimes there's multiple churches, depending on the size of the towns throughout, you know, if you're North Dakota, South Dakota, you know, depending on, obviously there are towns that have so many great churches, whether it's your white, you know, beautiful white painted churches or your huge Gothic churches. The other thing was the cemeteries. I love, you can see the entire history of a town just based on the cemeteries and where people came from. And, you know, there are places in New York where maybe there's a whole section, it's all the entire Italian community and the Greek community. I love seeing the different ways that we honor the people we love. So that's one of the things that I'm curious about, is how we, you know, love each other, whether it's through religion or community or, you know, understanding ourselves.
I always look for the animal shelters.
That's cool.
And the liquor stores.
Oh, so, well, there you go. They're usually not that close together.
Not that close. Well, you never know. I'm going to open the first animal shelter with a liquor store.
I also look for the shooting ranges. I got to practice. Yeah. It was the gun ranges. More to this on 720 WGN's Dating Dilemmas. If you want some advice on your dating life, 312-981-7200. Give us a call. That's 312-981-7200. Madge and Debbie Sue are taking your questions after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano. And before we meet our guests for Dating Dilemmas, Lise, what song were we hearing right there for Thanksgiving?
That was Mashed Potatoes by James Brown. Got to get creative here.
Yeah, I love it. Mashed potatoes are one of my favorite dishes for Thanksgiving.
I did not expect the musical selections to make me hungry.
I know. Yeah. So although we have some of these cookies over here for that. Joining me in studio is Debbie Sue Goodman, who is the author of Still Single, Still Dating, and My Husband the Stranger. And also joining us is Madge Jablonski, and they are Dating Dilemma. They're performing. They have a show coming up in March, but you can go to the website. And Debbie Sue, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Patty, for inviting us.
Absolutely. And now I know Madge gives you some advice as well on dating. Is that right?
Yes, yes, we are always talking about humorous dates and unusual dates. We have a great time in our show.
Madge, how are you doing?
Oh, my God, Patty, I'm so happy to be here. I'm doing great. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. And do you consider yourself to be an expert on dating experiences?
Well, I don't know. I would say, yeah. I mean, I've been around on planet Earth for a long time, honey. So
you observed.
I've seen a lot. Yes, sure. I've observed. I'm trying to help the poor girl. I mean, my God, she's such a beautiful girl. She just needs a little help, you know.
Debbie, do you give advice based on the advice you get from Madge, or do you try to, like, sort of navigate that?
Oh, I have. We have in the show, we kind of talk about all these humorous dates that are in my book, Still Dating, Still Single. I also have men and women that are single, divorced, that write to me and ask me for advice. I try to give the best advice I can, and sometimes on a humorous note or however they write to me. Sometimes it's serious or it's humorous, and we kind of put it into our show.
Oh, that's so much fun. Is there a particular date that sticks out for you, or you know, someone who's asked you for advice? Some
oh,
of those fun
yes.
stories.
I actually have a lot more men writing to me asking me for advice.
I believe
the time.
It.
They really get a kick out of it. And they meet us after our shows, too, and ask us for advice. So we have a great time. It's fun.
And you have one of the chapters here in your book, Still Single, about traveling. And you don't mind people who travel, but you don't want to travel next to them. Why is that? Why is that?
It's so many unique things, just traveling. And anywhere I go, there's always a fellow that's always asking me for my phone number. I just seem to be like a magnet in a good way, though. But they're always telling me their problems, and we laugh about it. I just was like in the post office minding my own business, and there was a single guy behind me that tapped me on the shoulder and said, with a face like that, I feel like I could tell you anything.
She's
and
got a beautiful face, you know.
Yes.
It's really cute. And we were talking about it in our show that he just proceeded to tell me everything. He said, I lost my last four jobs. Yep, they fired me. I'm mailing out six resumes, and my car was repossessed. So I gave him my phone number.
She gives him her phone number. Is she out of her mind? Why would she do a thing like that?
And I did that. He just looked like a nice guy, and he calls me up, and I was back at work, and I heard, like, this strange noise in the background. It sounded like a washer and dryer. It was like the-thump, 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 the-thump. Sure enough, he said, Debbie, I'm calling you from the local laundromat on a payphone. And I'm running out of change because I threw a couple of dimes in there, but I'd like to take you on a date for a walk.
A walk? That's not going to happen on the first date. No way.
I said maybe the second or the third, but a walk? I don't do things like that on the first date.
So what would you tell men who maybe they are a little bit strapped for cash and maybe they're at the laundromat? I mean, should they cover that up or be upfront about it, Madge?
I think they should be upfront about it because they were upfront about it with Debbie, and
sure. Everything
actually worked out really well
for
Miss Debbie. So
we ended up staying friends. Like, we're still friends with this fellow.
That's not easy to do. Because he was, you know, how many dates did it take for you to be friends? Or after the first date,
I was kind of lucky. I have some really great male friends. We've gone out a few times, and just they stay in touch with me. They write to me about their silly dating experiences, and it works out pretty good. But yeah. I mean, we ended up staying friends.
That's always nice. But no one wants to be in the. That guy didn't want to be in the friend zone. He's in the friend zone, waiting to be out of the friend zone. He's
exactly.
Once he gets a better job. He's hoping to impress, don't you think, Elliot? I mean, I don't know what else to say about that.
I am a permanent resident of the friend zone.
312-981-7200 are dating experts, Debbie Sue Hoffman and, I'm sorry, Goodman. Debbie Sue Goodman. You didn't even correct me. You're like, whatever. She's like, I've heard it both ways. Debbie Sue Goodman and Madge Jablonski, and I know that when you feel like you're an expert at something, you know, it's not like you're trying to lord it over anybody. Just you feel like you want to share that
exactly.
as a gift,
sure.
don't you?
Make sure. Them a better person.
Sure. And how much have apps changed the way you've talked to people and give them advice?
Oh yeah,
like Tinder.
Yeah, they do. They write to us everywhere, even on Twitter. We get emails. I get emails on my regular email. I get emails through my website and. Just people write all the time.
Facebook.
Do they ever send you, like, some of the screenshots? Should I swipe left or right on this
it's
one?
Like, should I wear my hair this way? Should I dress like this? And
do you have any advice for the best photo, the best profile photo for a Tinder app?
Oh, goodness. She's good with that. She's fabulous with photos. She does all our flyers. She's really great with this. Mama Madge is fabulous.
Not really. You know what's really funny, Patty? Everybody thinks I'm the expert. I am, but I'm pretty messed up myself, too. I need some help, too, once in a while.
Are you single?
Well, yes.
Still single?
Yes.
Look out.
And Debbie has talked me into trying the online dating. I've actually been on some dates.
Yes.
Oh, and how's that gone?
Well, you know, we've got, like, Bernie. I mean, Bernie, I was supposed
not
to
not Bernie Sanders. That sounds...
no, not so, Bernie Sanders.
Although, I bet you people date him just because he has the name. They're like, well, I mean, he's confident enough to go with that.
I don't know about confidence, but my gosh, Bernie, we were supposed to go on a date. And that evening, or actually it was 6 a.m. in the morning, I get this crazy phone call, and it's Bernie. And I'm like, Bernie, what are you calling me at 6 a.m. in the morning for? Don't you know you woke us up? He's like, oh, my God, Madge. I'm like, you know, is everything okay? He's like, oh, my God, Madge, everything's fine. I'm just calling you for your phone number.
Oh, no. He didn't realize he was calling the number. Oh, dear.
I've driven to this, really. It keeps me in check.
What is this little bottle of?
My little Jack Daniel's Tennessee honey whiskey.
Well, we have our own bar open over here because it is the holidays.
I kind of like you guys a lot. There you go. Cheers.
Well, you know, Rokon left it from the Carnarvon wagon on Friday, so we just keep the bar open. Elliot, do you have any dating questions for Madge or Debbie Sue?
Okay, so it's crazy out there, all right? And I know... I have plenty of female friends that give me their horror stories because apparently there are a lot of nutty guys out there.
There's a lot of nutty guys. What's with the men? I just don't get it.
Well, then my question is, what's with the women? Because I've met my share of interesting women, and I've gotten the speech twice already. It's the whole everything's fine, and then all of a sudden it's like, I'm in a complicated place right now. And it's almost like there are note cards going around because I almost the exact same words twice. I'm in a complicated place right now. I'm like, what? Was there a meeting? Did you all get together and go, okay.
A talking points memo?
Talking points memo. Or like, you know, remember Greg Brady told Marcia in Brady Brunch, something suddenly came up.
Oh, yes.
I'm waiting for one of those. Well, Elliot, you're a great guy, but something suddenly came up, you know. I've gotten that one too, though. I have gotten the something came up sort of bit.
Oh,
so, okay. So how do you wade through the crazy that's on each side? Because I'll admit it. Women have a hard time out there. But I'm saying, guys, we have a hard time too. I'm trying to find that center area away from the crazy around the edges that we're dealing, that both sexes are dealing with.
Well, you have to, I find that if you enjoy something, like if you like going to the health club, I like just taking walks at my health club on the track, or if you enjoy playing volleyball or just any kind of even board games, if you're doing something you enjoy, then somehow Mr. or Miss Wright is usually doing the same thing. I've met a lot of people that way. I've met a lot of good friends that way, just doing something that I enjoy, either comedy or writing or just kind of going to the health club. There's always somebody that wants to talk to you, and, you know, you're doing something that interests you, and then you can find somebody that way.
Oh.
That's something I enjoy.
That was so simple. I know it's hard at the movies because, like, people seem to go with other people.
I wouldn't. I mean, it's a cute girl just text me on the shoulder while I'm watching the newest Star Wars movie. I'd be like, could you wait until after?
Don't be shy, Elliot. Really, don't be shy. Just go for it. Go for the gusto. Die for it, you know? I say be bold. Be open about it. You know, be straight, though. Be straight with yourself and then share what you have. And I think you could land a good fish that way.
Sure.
Oh, I think you need a line and hook.
A line and hook. Well, I've been catch and release, apparently. So.
We need to take a break here. First, let me tell you this. It's a sad fact. Nursing home negligence is a serious problem. Neglect of elderly residents happens when nursing homes are understaffed. Nursing home negligence includes medication errors, malnutrition and dehydration, falls, pressure sores, and failing to follow doctor's orders. If you suspect a loved one is a victim of abuse or negligence in a nursing home, call Conasec and Dillon. The law firm of Conasec and Dillon will advise and help your family through the painful ordeal of injuries or death caused by nursing home negligence. Conasec and Dillon understands that turning the care of a loved one over to a nursing home or professional caregiver is one of life's most difficult decisions. You deserve only the best care for your loved ones in return. Protect your loved ones. Call the law offices of Conasec and Dillon at 630-262-9655. Consultations are always free. Call Conasec and Dillon at 630-262-9655. 55. We are hanging out with Debbie, Sue, and Madge in the Allstate Showcase studio. If you have any questions about dating, give us a call and we can answer your questions. Well, they will answer your questions after the news. 312-981-7200. First, a break and then the news on 720. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio on this Thanksgiving Eve. I have some of my prep work done. I've chopped my onions. I've chopped my parsley. My turkey is thawed. I'm ready to go. It's all guns a-blazing.
That apparently is the...
The key?
The key, the thawing of the turkey.
It's every four pounds you need a whole day. So if you have a 16-pound turkey, you should have started like on Sunday.
But where do you put it?
In the fridge. You have to put it in the fridge. So it defrosts at a refrigerator temperature.
But I remember for the longest time, and maybe this is me imagining things, but I remember them saying that if you had your turkey, you were supposed to put it like in a tub full of water.
And change the water every 30 minutes. So it's cold water, not warm water. And that's extensive as well. So if you have not thawed your turkey for tomorrow, you have to change that.
Can I
that water,
that
tub of water.
Can I put it in the microwave on defrost?
No.
Just get a tofurkey.
Tofurkey, yeah.
I'm eating tofurkey tomorrow.
Make reservations.
In a Christmas story.
So many great restaurants that have great Thanksgiving dinners, by the way.
Yeah, but they're all booked up.
I know. I bet you there's a few that have room for Elliot.
Go to Norwood Park. That's where Madge is going. I'll be at the Norwood Park Diner tomorrow.
The Norwood Park restaurant there on Northwest Highway? Why that one?
What takes
you there to my neighborhood?
Well, that's where...
To my whereabouts.
My son lives.
In Norwood Park?
Yes.
It's one of the great neighborhoods in the country, not just in the Chicagoland area. It's a great... George W. Bush stopped there one time.
He sure did.
There's pictures of him on the wall. I grew up on that block, Madge.
Wow.
I grew up on Northwest Highway above what used to be the TCF Bank. It's now the Edward Fox Photography Studio.
Oh, I remember. Did you go to Taft High School?
No, I did not. I went to Lane Tech. I got out of the neighborhood because, you know, when you're beat up on the playground at Onahan, you don't really want to hang out with those kids anymore.
At Taft.
You're going to be like, you know what? I think I'm going to go find a whole new group of people to hang out with. And that's the thing. There's not a lot of diversity in Norwood Park, but it was a great place to grow up. I love my neighborhood. But Madge and Debbie Sue are here to talk about your dating lives. And we have, by the way, earlier we were talking about our favorite Christmas movies. Madge, do you have a favorite holiday movie?
Oh, my God. Definitely Chevy Chase.
Oh.
Christmas Vacation.
Okay. And by the way, so there you go to our listener who said, seriously, how has no one brought up the greatest holiday movie comedy of all time? The National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. So there you go, Debbie Sue.
Clean the shitter.
Oh! Could you please get that for me? Thank you, Lise. Okay.
Oops. It's 2 in the morning.
Not having seen the movie, I've never seen National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Yeah, don't say it again, Madge.
That was a great movie. I'm glad she said that, not me.
Okay,
it's the holiday. No one from the FCC was listening.
Clean the what? Clean the 29th Street. What's 29th? I've never seen 29th Street. Maybe they meant 39th Street. 34th Street? Why 29th Street? That can't be a real movie. Bad Santa, which is a very good movie.
Oh, yeah,
I love. And by the way, Bad Santa 2 is coming out.
Elf is good.
Elf is good.
Elf is good.
Okay, so also Going My Way and Love Actually. Going My Way is a Bing Crosby movie. And also The Bells of St. Mary came in from Todd Chuchuk, who also said It's a Wonderful Life. Now, we do have a dating question, which is, here we go. Not a question. It's really soliciting, hoping for help. My last date was in 1984. Any advice?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, wow. What have they been doing?
Has she shaved her legs? Is it a female or a male?
We don't know. It is. It literally says unnamed from the 773.
I'll tell her or him, whoever wrote, that they can go to, you know, try a singles dance, go do something they enjoy, get out there and mingle, and maybe try a meetup group. There's all kinds of things they can go
put,
to.
You know, put one foot in front of the other and,
sure,
you know.
Get out there. And,
get out there.
You know, and just have fun.
Would you say something really actually easy to do is, if there's a book that you love, and let's say, I don't know, if it's C.S. Lewis, let's say it's Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is a kind of a unique book. Maybe you're an adult and you want to reread it, or something else in your collection. I don't know. What would you say is a great book to have someone go, oh, my God, I love that book? And then you have something to talk about, wouldn't you say?
Sure.
Sort of like mutual...
Depends, yeah. I mean, but yeah, like you were saying before, find something that you enjoy. But here's the thing. I think, to speaking to the case of this texter, I mean, let's face it. Okay, one, dating is rough, and you're constantly, you know, for some folks, there are some folks who are lucky that they kind of like get to just dance through the tulips, and they always have, you know, great experiences. But there are some of us who, like, get a lot of rejection. And that's tough. It can really wear on you.
Exactly.
So how do you do what's your advice to that person who says, you know what, it's been a while since I've dated. I have, like, maybe social anxieties. And let's face it, we know rejection is out there. How do I get myself to get up on that horse and just keep going?
Well, like we were talking about in our show, even trying the online dating.
Online dating.
Or, you know, if not a singles group or something where you can get out there, go dancing, or I went miniature golfing with a couple of single girlfriends. Ooh. And they were talking to a couple of fellas that were behind us a couple of summers ago, and they met people that way. And they met
3-minute dating. I say do something where you're communicating, go miniature golfing, you know, talk, make it live. I think live is maybe better for people that haven't been... You know, just kind of get out and explore a little
bit. Trivia nights, that kind of thing, too.
Yes.
I know that our friend Paul Farvar, who hosts a speed dating kind of situation at the Laugh Factory. There's a lot of great.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
That sounds fun.
They have board games. They have, like, groups where there's single people that meet and play chess and Scrabble and board games. There's meet-up groups like that, too. That's fun.
Yeah, okay. I think people have to start moving away from the apps a little bit.
Yeah, no, more personal interaction. But, again, back to that whole thing. How do you tell yourself... Man, I think I'm okay to date, but it seems like everyone I meet out there doesn't agree with me. Like, really, how do you psych yourself up?
It's not me, it's you. Is that what they're telling you?
Really? Yeah. No, because when they give me the whole, no, it's not you, it's me, we all know who it is.
It's always Elliot, even when you're not even in the relationship.
I'm the common
denominator. It's not me, it's not you, it's Elliot.
It's not Elliot, it's Elliot.
You have to love yourself. You have to like yourself. And... I have a girlfriend that doesn't even want to, like, comb her hair or get dressed up nice or anything to go. And I tell her, if you put on, like, you know, a new shirt or just go have your hair done, then she gets a new attitude, and then she wants to get out there and mingle and meet people, because she just has been down because she's been alone for quite a while.
But it's all about the look, you know, like, wear some nice colors. Like, look at my colors.
There you go.
Yeah, very festive.
I go to the
vibrant
beauty shop. I have my hair done, and I drink a lot of whiskey. You know?
That takes care of everything.
Liquid courage.
It takes care of everything.
Will that also help people who are, you know, kind of being really interrogated by their families over Thanksgiving dinner, why they're not in a relationship?
It's a great take away the jitter type thing, you know. Drink a little bottle and whoa, boom shakalaka, you'll be in a good mood and you'll
boom
be happy.
Shakalaka.
You'll get along with everyone.
Well, I want to thank you both so much. How can people find out more information about your shows?
Oh, you can go to www.stillsingle.org or look up Madge Jablonski.
MadgeJablonski.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you again soon, especially before your show coming up in March. We'd love to have you back for that event you have in Madison, Wisconsin.
It's a Gilda's House.
Gilda's House.
Yes. We're really excited and honored to be performing for a Gilda Radner's House. We're really, really excited.
They do amazing things, helping families and survivors of cancer all over the country. Thank you so much, Madge and Debbie Sue.
Thank you, Patty.
Of course.
Thank you.
We have John Hanson and Esmeralda coming in next for Nick D, so let's check in with them on 720 WGN. are listening pretty late on this Thanksgiving Eve. Joining me in studio is Elliot Serrano. And, Lise, before I turn it over to our friends in the studio, this is another thank you song. Lise has been doing a lot of Thanksgiving-themed songs tonight. Oh. So what is this?
This is Thank You by Big Star.
Thank You by Big Star. John Hanson and Ezra Leon are in for Nick DiGilio.
Hey-o.
Hello.
Hey-o.
How are you guys doing?
Oh, it's 1:50 in the morning. I'm already full. I don't know how that's possible on Thanksgiving. But here's
are you responsible for any of the cooking, the prep, or
No, none of it. None of
what
it.
What are you eating?
Here's what I did. It was a really bad mistake. Is that around 7:30 last night, I guess, I was like, I'll take a nap before I come in here this morning. And beforehand, I decided to make a DiGiorno pizza, which I normally cut half of it up and put the rest of it away into the fridge, and I did not do that.
You didn't stop?
I did not stop. I ate the entire thing, and that was the worst idea ever. And then I laid right down and went to bed, and I had this DiGiorno baby just brewing inside of me.
Bigger and bigger. Expanding upon contact, yes.
It's not going to be a celebrated moment when it comes out.
I had fried chicken.
Oh, so did I.
And then I ate McDonald's.
I had fried chicken, and I woke up and had pad thai. I took a nap, too, by the way, It was
very traditional excessive. Thanksgiving meals we're having here.
Well, I was doing my prep work. I smell like onions, so I apologize. Mm-hmm. Everything in this area, John, or whoever's running the board, everything smells like onions. It's a lot of sweet onions. That's all. So I apologize. I didn't get to the garlic or the shallots yet, so going to go home and do that soon. Esmeralda, there was a story that we teased a couple weeks ago that I never got to with you.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot Serrano, who is one of my best friends, who is my best friend, he had told us on Friday night that he was going to be at the Logan Arcade. And I love me some vintage arcade games. Mm-hmm. So I was in an event in Beverly, and I don't know why I'm pointing, but that's south.
Okay, kind of.
And I was wrapping up, and I texted him. I'm like, hey, I would love to swing by and see you. And he tells me where he is. Mm-hmm. He's no longer at the Logan Arcade because, can we say why you were no longer there?
You go on ahead.
I think we all know.
No.
Oh.
An ex showed up because we sense that perhaps she might have... It might have been not coincidental that she showed up there.
Wow.
So that was part of it. But he never told me. When he left that night on Friday, he said he was going out with friends at the Logan Arcade. He never said that it was a double date.
Wait. It was a double date?
Yeah, you never told me it was a double date, Elliot.
I didn't say that?
No. You said it was some friends.
Well, it was with friends, yes.
Right.
It was a double date.
They were introducing me to somebody. Mm-hmm. They were introducing me to somebody, and it was going to be a group thing because apparently she didn't feel comfortable just seeing me by herself.
Fair.
So
I don't because of you, but I mean like.
No, let's be honest. It's because of me.
Wait, but then it turned into a minivan of a situation.
Hold on,
she was like
we're not there yet. No,
Mystery Machine. Wait, hold on.
So I'm coming from Beverly, and Elliot says no. We're at the Logan Bar, right?
Logan Bar, great bar by the way.
Yeah.
Great place to go to.
It's so great. There's no way to park a minivan in that area.
No.
I spent 40 minutes trying to find a parking spot with my. I'm the mom. I should have just texted you and be like, it's not gonna happen. I'm gonna go home. We're done. But then of course, right when you're gonna give up, someone pulls out of a spot, and I am a parallel parking queen, so I pull in and I walk in the bar and I see Elliot. And by the way, Logan Bar is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I love that bar.
Great place.
I walk in there and he's sitting at the bar talking to a young lady. She's lovely. They're having a great conversation.
Right.
And I don't want to interrupt them.
Right.
So I walk past Elliot. And I thought he might have seen me, but he didn't. So I sit one stool over from Elliot.
To the left. Okay, here's
and
the thing.
And your turn looking to the right.
Yes, just and he is so engrossed in this conversation with this lovely young lady.
I'm going to tell you folks right now, I am probably the most oblivious guy you're ever going to meet. I was utterly oblivious. I'm looking at my phone. The last text I got from her was, where are you? I texted her. We're at the Logan Bar. She goes, okay, I'll meet you there. And the whole time I'm looking to see when is Patty showing up.
Yeah, but you didn't look again because I text him. When I sit down, I texted him, are you hungry?
Yes.
And I get nothing for 20 minutes. I sat next to him for 20. Now, here's the thing.
Patty, this is weird. That's weird.
You know, she's sitting to the left of me.
It was very weird. But here's the thing, right? So I've already, the girl he's seeing that he's on that date with now, she sees me sit down and I think, well, if I get up and just leave now, if they are going to date later on, she'll be like, hey, weren't you at the bar and you came in and you just weirdly...
Right.
You stared at us and walked away.
But I've sat down for a few minutes and I honestly thought he was going to see the text or would notice me. And like I let time go by, 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
I order food. I'm eating. So I'm, now having, you're in a, I'm on my second drink.
Now you're in the exact opposite situation. Now you cannot even start to then... You can't be like, oh, he's my best friend, and I've been sitting next to him for 20 minutes.
And eventually he sees the text. He goes, I said...
And I text her, and I go, where are you? And the next text is, to your left.
Oh, my God.
I turn... Okay, so
she's just looking at you waving.
Yes. And I turn, wait, you've been there the whole time? And then my friend, she goes, yeah, she's been sitting there the whole time.
Wow. So, John, you're not wrong. It is the weirdest, creepiest. I made everything weird about the night.
There was no way out.
No.
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Would you tell her where you are without prefacing why you were where you were?
Fair point.
Who?
That you were on a date.
You.
That you were on a date.
Even if it was a double date. Okay. I never knew it was a double date.
I'm going to say this. Again, I'm an oblivious guy.
Seriously, though?
One.
You can't be that oblivious.
I'm pretty oblivious. And everyone who was with me knew that Patty was going to show up at some point because I announced it several times.
Okay.
And this is a funny thing. Okay, this
but it took me so long to park that they gave up.
Here's the thing. This was surreal because it was a few drinks into the evening, all right? And the world has sort of a haze over it at that point.
Right.
Now, I don't know how many folks have seen Patty, like, in social situations, out of the radio station, away from, let's say, a show. Didn't you just have a show that night? Right. So Patty shows up looking as Patty is going to look. You had the sequined purple top.
You were looking so Patty.
You were. You had your bright red lipstick. Your hair was up in the Princess Leia Empire Strikes Back braids. And this is the funny thing, because I turn, there's Patty again, and I'm already, oh, goodness, I can't believe she's been sitting there the whole time. My friend is going, she has been sitting there the whole time.
Confirming.
Oh, right. And then they start talking to each other like they're friends, you know, like over
she's
me.
Very nice. I like her
right?
very much.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were talking to each other like the moment they became like best friends right then. I guess women,
she's great.
They start talking.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Right. They became best friends right there. And then this line popped into my head. I was going, I said it. I said, guys, I need a timeout right now. I need a moment.
His brain was trying to catch up.
Yeah, I was trying to catch up. And I go to...
Your date?
My date. I go, I just want you to know, this is like you can actually see my imaginary friend. Because, again, she had a sequin top on.
And I appeared out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Out of
For
nowhere.
20 minutes.
For 20 minutes.
I was sitting there.
By the way,
the ginger soy chicken bites at Logan Bar are so very good. It comes with some edamame beans.
Oh, yeah,
it's very good. And their cucumber little gimlet is, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I had two of those while I was waiting for him to
The whole time.
Yes.
Like you're ordering, like you're saying words out loud, like you don't hear her voice.
Yeah,
she's
like,
not exaggerating.
Yeah.
And at one point, I'm turning, and she even had a conversation with some other guy while she was sitting there. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
This has all been going on the whole time.
I got hit by a divorced guy, by the way, while I was sitting there.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That was fun.
That's
and he touched me. And that's when I got up off my stool. Yeah, he put his hand. He slid his hand down my back
to
the edge of my jeans. And Elliot was sitting there. Because the guy came back around and Elliot now knew I was there. I got up and I squared off on him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What do you mean squared off on?
I stood up and I go, really? You're going to touch me?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You should. That's crazy. I can't believe guys do that.
That's what Elliot means by I was as Patty can be. And I was like, dude, why are you touching me?
By yourself.
She was in full Patty mode that night.
Has there been another date?
No, but first of all, we went to a second location. The reason there's a minivan involved is because we decided we were going to leave the minivan there and take a lift to Peace Pizza.
Oh.
Yes, because she's a singer, and we wanted to go do some live band karaoke.
Oh, right, because they do
so
that.
So I tag along to the next phase of their date.
And then...
Was it down to just you two at this point?
What happens? Yes, it was down to us two.
The whole time when I was sitting next to them, the other people had already left.
Oh.
Okay, so this is the thing. Again, Patty being Patty. She's talking to my date.
Yeah.
They're best friends now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm feeling like the third wheel here. I'm like, hey, can I just leave you ladies? I can go.
Right.
I mean, I'm not parked far away. So if you want,
uh-huh.
I can just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, no, there have been other dates afterwards.
Yeah.
But that was like probably the most surreal start
As surreal as everything else, we get into this lift, and there's music playing, and Ellie goes, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this? And he recognizes it as the music from Doctor Who season 11. It's the episode where the doctor does it. And I wanted to tell him, like, stop.
Yeah, I was going to say, did she run away?
No, she's a Doctor Who fan.
Oh, well, not to this extent,
that's true. When I start going into that sort of, and then I start going, but she's a musician. I mean, she's a singer.
So yeah, she's into that.
She's an operatic singer. She's doing those things. I'm talking about, you know, episode 6 of season 4.
Yeah, right. He's very specific really about, like, it, the yeah. elements of the episode.
And 20
the,
minutes and 30 seconds in, this right. starts playing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. it was kind of one of those moments.
That is not an exaggeration.
We are now into your show, John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon. What's coming up on your show?
Oh, boy, what is it? We're going to obviously be talking about Thanksgiving. I want to hear from the people that are up cooking.
Yes.
Because I know that there's people that obviously do a lot of prep work the days before, but there's some stuff you have to do today, right?
Is there?
Yeah.
Continue
right?
the thought.
I'm like, what are you
Not
guys
for me,
doing?
But for, like, the hosts.
I'm just curious. What are you doing? You're up at these early morning hours.
I saw some friends on Facebook not realizing it was their first time hosting Thanksgiving that they weren't supposed to buy frozen turkeys yesterday. And what to do now? I mean, there's ways around it.
It's just the cold water every 30 minutes.
But you got to redo it every 30 minutes. Yep. Right, exactly. So they're not panicking. So we can help them out. I can Google some things for you if you're panicking.
Butterball, flat line. We got resources we can give them.
And also, Esmeralda's family is going to fight all night, apparently, so I want to talk about
they
that.
I thought
you were fine. Oh, not about politics, about other things?
Yeah, just life in general.
There's four of them, and there's so much drama.
We always bicker and fight when we are amongst each other.
It's like a sitcom.
Is there anyone besides your brother, or is your brother bringing other people?
His girlfriend that no one likes might be there.
Oh.
And they're not listening. They're not listening right now.
I don't care if she's listening.
I cannot wait. I can't wait.
Fireworks.
She started talking about this in the green room. I was like, no, stop. I want to hear about it all.
It's not about politics. It's just about, I just don't like you.
Right.
All right. Well, you know, tomorrow night we do our second Thanksgiving on my show. So bring your leftovers or not. I'll have plenty of food for everybody.
Bring some DiGiorno. I'll be hungry. I'll be hungry by then. It'll be great.
I will have turkey. I'll have stuffing muffins. I'll have some sweet potatoes, some mashed potatoes. And I don't think I'll have any spinach left. But
I'll bring a drink or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Or a pie.
So we will see tomorrow night. That's Esmeralda Leon and John Hanson coming up next, filling in for Nick D. Right now it's time for us to go. Elliot, happy Thanksgiving. I'll see you tomorrow night.
See you tomorrow night.
Although I was planning getting a hotel room for everybody to have a slumber party. I don't know if it's going to happen.
No.
We're
going to wreck that place if we did.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Watching Doctor Who?
You better invite me to the hotel room party.
Is that Julie Gray?
It sure is.
Hey! Okay, then I'll get a hotel room. There's some good deals around here downtown, by the way.
There you go. They get desperate.
They do. If they're not gone, they'll just scrape these off. Excellent. Oh, I'm so excited to hear you guys on my way home. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com.